Lord, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive your word, and grant us courage and passion to act upon what we have heard. In Jesus' name, amen. The very first sermon that I ever preached was on the gospel reading for this morning. That was 30 years ago when I'd just become a lay reader at St. John's Reed, and I was preaching out at Sutton, which is part of the St. John's Parish then. At that time, I found this gospel reading very challenging, and I still do. In our gospel this morning, Jesus is traveling towards Jerusalem, accompanied by a growing band of disciples, but also by great crowds. But as the crowds continue to grow and they come ever nearer to Jerusalem, Jesus sees that it is important that the people who are there with him, crowds and disciples, take stock of where they're going. His words highlight the differences between being one of the crowd and being a disciple. The difference between coming to Jesus and coming after him. To be a member of the crowd, to merely come to see Jesus and hear him speak, required a minimum loyalty and a minimum committal to him. Probably some of the crowd were there because they were intellectually interested in what Jesus had to say about the kingdom of God, or even about the politics of living as Jews in a world dominated by Rome. Some were there because they had physical needs, for after all, Jesus had an established record of healing the sick. Perhaps some were there because they thought there might be a free lunch. You'll recall that earlier in the gospel, we have an account of the feeding of the 5,000. But you know, indeed, through the whole of Luke's gospel, we see Jesus struggling with the crowds to win their allegiance and to move them to repentance and commitment, challenging them to something more, inviting them to become disciples, to join the smaller group of those who've chosen to follow him more closely because they long to know him better and to enter into a deeper relationship with him in which they can learn more and more about their membership of the kingdom of God. As we consider today's gospel, we're given the opportunity of assessing whether we're like the crowd, content with their present relationship with Christ, or whether we want more, if we truly want to be disciples. For while all are welcome in God's kingdom and Jesus places no barriers on the way of those who would follow, he longs for us to follow ever closer. The problem is, in our reading today, Jesus states in no uncertain terms that there is no free lunch in being a disciple. If they're going to follow him as disciples, if we are going to follow him as disciples, they and we need to be aware that there is a cost involved. Jesus wanted them, and he wants us, to be completely sure about our choice. Not like someone who embarks on a building project and then finds that he doesn't have the resources to finish it. Or a king who goes off to war without sizing up his opponent first. And so he makes three rather radical statements about what discipleship involves. First of all, Jesus says, those who choose to follow him enter into a new loyalty, a one-to-one relationship which supersedes even the closest of human ties. He states that we must hate parents and siblings, spouse and family. But, you know, it isn't quite like that. The good news is that, you know, it isn't that extreme. The American scholar Frank Craddock points out that to hate is a Semitic expression meaning to turn away from, to detach oneself. It's not the same as our contemporary expression, I hate you. The term denotes action, not emotion. Jesus' point is not about how you feel about your family. Rather, it's about who you will choose if and when it comes to choosing between family and kingdom. At the same time, we should probably be somewhat cautious about dismissing Jesus' warning as ancient hyperbole. Because when we choose to follow Jesus, our relationships with other people change. We see the world in a different way. And while that in itself is an experience of great joy, there's also a certain amount of pain in the realization that having made that choice, our old relationships are no longer the same. I can still remember the hurt when, as a teenager, I eagerly told my mother about my newfound faith in Christ, and her reply was, "Oh, well, you will grow out of that, dear." A complete lack of understanding on her part about the new relationship that I had entered and found so exciting, and a realization on my part that following Christ was going to have to take priority over my relationship with my own mom. As Frank Craddock further explains, what is demanded of disciples is that in the network of many loyalties in which all of us live, the claim of Christ in the gospel not only takes precedence, but in fact redefines the others. This can and will necessarily involve some detaching, some turning away. And it's not just our relationships with other people that change when we commit ourselves to following Christ more closely. It's our whole view of life. Christ's call to us is one of breaking away from the patterns of life that we've previously followed. Those who elected to follow Jesus in our gospel passage, his disciples had left home and security. And in doing so, their conduct went against the expectations of society. That was also true of members of the early church. In today's New Testament reading, Paul was writing to Philemon in the expectation that he would treat his runaway slave, Onesimus, in a manner that was quite contrary to the normal expectations of the way in which runaway slaves were to be treated in Greco-Roman society. We too can find that in responding to Christ's message of love for all people, the ground rules governing our conduct and our attitudes to many of our society's expectations may be radically changed. Why is this? I think that the reason for this change lies in the second thing that Jesus says about discipleship. He says to his hearers, "No one who does not carry the cross can come with me and be a disciple of mine." On the cross, Jesus bore the pain and suffering of a sinful world without retaliation, without hitting back. That is what God's love is about. That's what being Jesus' people is about. We too are called to absorb the pain of the world. When we go deeper as Jesus' followers, we begin to see the world through his eyes. We can no longer ignore the need of our fellow human beings. We're called upon to do something to help. And doing something often involves some sort of sacrifice. At the very least, a sacrifice of our time to comfort and care when we encounter that need directly. We find that we need to speak out when we see inequality and injustice being done in our society, in our world. And if we feel helpless and can see no way of acting, all of us can be people of prayer, bringing our concerns to God in our prayers. Since, as our Old Testament reading this morning points out, God is in control. God is the potter, and we are the clay. Finally, and probably most difficult for us, Jesus says that no one can be his disciples without giving up their possessions. The people whom we identify as disciples in the Gospels literally did that. Levi left his job as a tax collector. Peter and the other fishermen left their nets. The question of possessions is an important one in Luke's Gospel, and it's an important issue for us too. Why do you say? I think the key to the matter lies in a story a little bit further along in Luke's gospel in chapter 18. The story of the Jewish leader who came to Jesus and was told that he must give up his wealth in order to follow him. And when he heard that, he went away with a heavy heart. The desire to follow was there. The quality of his life was certainly impeccable. You'll remember when Jesus asked him if he kept the commandments, he was able to answer with a confident yes. Yes, ever since I was young, I've done so. Why was he unable to take that final step of obedience? I don't think it was so much because he couldn't handle the idea of being unsure where his next meal would come from or where he would sleep each night, but rather that the whole measure of who he was as a person was tied up with what he had accomplished and what he had acquired. And that can be our problem too. We have a tendency to measure our own worth and the worth of others in terms of what sort of qualifications we've attained and what sort of jobs we do and where we live and so on. If we're to be disciples, we must give that attitude away. We live in a society that measures worth in terms of possessions, and we often fall into the trap of envying those who have more than we do, rather than enjoying all the good things that we do have, and out of our abundance, sharing what we have with those who have less. The truth is, we can be possessed by our possessions, enslaved by them. Jesus says we must be freed from that enslavement, aware of that enslavement, and then freed of it. Now, all this sounds like a pretty big ask. When we look at the standards that Jesus sets, we realize that we have far to go. I know that I certainly do. Our decision to follow Christ may separate us from our family ties, but you know, the good side of it is that as Christians, we become part of a new family. Our fellow believers within the church are here to provide us with the love and support that we need. Wherever there are other Christians, wherever we travel, that support is available to us. Jesus tells us that if we are to be his disciples, we must take up the cross. We must be willing to share in the pain of the world. We must be willing to absorb that pain rather than pass it on or retaliate. But elsewhere, using another metaphor, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And also, we must remember that beyond the cross lies the new life of the resurrection, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live that life. Finally, Jesus says we must give up our possessions. We must stop measuring our worth according to what we have or what we've accomplished. Because when we stop evaluating ourselves and others in that way, we're free to more fully experience the joy of belonging to God and living in God's love, and day by day becoming the whole people, the holy people, whom God intends each of us to be. Jesus invites all those who come to him to become his disciples, to risk coming after him and sharing his journey. The cost is high, but we go forth in his company. And having made that decision to go with him, we will find that we cannot go back. Amen.